Welcome to The Grand Conversation, the Machon Siach podcast. Machon Siach at SAR High School, honoring the memory of Belda Kaufman Lindenbaum, Zichrona Livracha, is the research arm of SAR High School, where faculty bridge theory and practice on matters of Jewish education, curriculum, and culture. I'm your host, Shmuel Hain. Our producer is Avi Blum, and our engineer is Greg Schmidt. Today's episode of the podcast is devoted to the program that we call VOD at SAR High School. We're going to talk a little bit about how this program came to be and where we adapted it from through an organization called Lifnai VeLifnim. My two guests today are the two people who oversee this program at SAR High School, Rabbanit Lisa Schlaff, who is the Director of Judaic Studies, and Ms. Shira Shaiwitz, who is a Tanakh teacher, as well as the person who co-directed our professional development for the past 6 years. Lisa and Shira have been the two people who have spearheaded integrating Lifnai VeLifnim into SAR High School through a program known as VOD, and we're thrilled to welcome them today. Lisa, Shira, welcome back to The Grand Conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've already been corrected. It's 7 years as the head of professional development, and the professional development piece of Lifnai VeLifnim and of VOD is one that we're going to get to in just a couple of minutes, but I first wanted to ask you, Lisa, to talk a little bit about what the organization of Lifnai VeLifnim is, and when did SAR begin its relationship with Lifnai VeLifnim, and how did that come about?
Thank you, Shmuel. Really happy to be here and happy to be talking about this program, which is very dear to my heart. So Lifnai VeLifnim is an organization that started out of Yeshivat Mikor Chaim in Israel, which is headed by a wonderful man named Rabbi Dov Zinger. Rabbi Yishai Zinger, his son, heads Lifnai VeLifnim, which is the teacher training outgrowth of the yeshiva. And what's so unique about this yeshiva and about the teacher training organization is it has a focus on helping learning become personal. So very deep Torah learning in a way that really connects with students' lives in a way that is authentic and real, and I'll just say it in a straightforward kind of way, not fluffy. And that is, I think, what really appealed to us, was being part of a program that had a certain type of Torah learning that was able to develop students' emotional awareness, emotional intelligence, and help students connect to each other while being deeply rooted and grounded in Torah texts.
So many of our listeners may be familiar with Yeshivat Mikor Chaim from one of the more tragic episodes in the last 10 years of the Jewish people. That's where the three boys from who were kidnapped from the Gush Etzion area. I think two of them studied at Mikor Chaim, and that was kind of when Rav Zinger's yeshiva became well-known internationally. But for a long time, Rav Zinger and Mikor Chaim have been known for kind of a unique educational approach, and this institute, this organization, is kind of trying to share that approach more broadly. Shira, what are some of the features of Lifnai VeLifnim, some things that may be a little less conventional? I'm someone who went to my first Lifnai VeLifnim conference a few weeks ago. There's a lot of clapping. There's a lot of other kinds of things which are somewhat atypical of an SAR high school classroom. So what was initially some of the things that you saw in this method that you thought were unconventional and maybe you were even uncomfortable with? And how did you come to embrace some of those very things themselves, which may be unconventional?
So I'll have to say that I came into this in a little bit of a different way. The first thing I really did for Lifnai VeLifnim, or getting involved in this organization, is that I went to the conference in Israel. And that was before I had a group in my class or really even had participated in the faculty VOD. So I think that I had I realize this now, like I had kind of an easier entrance into it because I started at the source. And when at that conference that Lisa and I were at together, along with Michael Goldman and CC Turner, I just got to see like where this whole thing developed. And it was at its core, it came from a place of care for every individual and a sense of building a relationship between a group with Hashem as part of that relationship. So I think seeing that at the source, like, kind of helped me see the big picture from the beginning. And then, like, the unconventional pieces were like, oh, okay, it's just part of that bigger piece. So I think you're talking about the clapping, right? Is that your
That's one of the things, or saying your name and have everyone clap, or
Yes.
give, you
Okay.
know, rating how you're feeling with your two
Okay.
sets of
So those are
hands.
yes. Okay. So every in SAR, let's say in the classroom, one of the ways that almost we all start is that we welcome everybody. And the way we do that is that everybody says their name, the class like repeats their name, and then they clap. We all clap. And yeah, different people have different variations of how we do this. But I think like at its essence, right? Like what that is like in order for everyone to be part of the group, like we have to acknowledge them. And like we everybody says everybody's name. Like you're here, we need you, you're a part of this group, and like we celebrate you. So I kind of see it in the bigger picture. I also think like the clapping, it's like everyone does something a little bit silly at the beginning, and then it's like, okay, like we're here, we're good. Like we can be real together,
Yeah, for
if that matters.
me, the experience was like letting down your guard a little bit. Once you do something a
Yeah.
little bit silly, you feel like you can be more
Right.
open and share and those kinds of things.
Yeah. And then there's like less posturing, like, oh, I'm be, you know, like we all just clapped and that was weird. We don't usually do that. So then when it comes to like talking about like how I'm really doing, like I can be more honest.
Yeah, so I had the opposite experience from you, Shira.
Yes.
I had a
Yes.
son. Who's now a rising senior, who was telling me about VOD in 9th and 10th grade and how much he enjoyed it and everything else. And then I was his teacher in 11th grade and was told I was going to be doing VOD and got some training from you and Lisa, but hadn't really experienced the full Lifnai v'Lifnim conference kind of thing. And then this past summer, I went to a conference and it kind of all started to click. Oh, that's what this is about. So I learned about it from the students in my class and from some other teachers, but really didn't fully utilize or realize how much was being done through these weekly Lev HaShavu or VOD sessions until I kind of saw the bigger picture.
Yeah, as we're talking big picture about what some of the goals of VOD are, I feel like it's important for our listeners to know exactly how it fits into the school and what it is exactly that we're talking about here in a very practical kind of way. So we at SAR High School have this program called VOD, which is one period a week for 9th grade and 10th grade and 11th grade. It's not all our Limmudei Kodesh classes, so there's some clapping, but we're not clapping every day and all the time. It is designed to be with your Gemara or Tanakh shiur, and very deliberately so, to create a close sense of connection and camaraderie between students, among students, and between students and teachers. So it's really a one period a week that's kind of attached to a Gemara or Tanakh class.
Shira, I wanted to ask you just a little bit about the different components of VOD that we at SAR High School have kind of adapted as the core components for what we're trying to do. Lifnai v'Lifnim themselves refer to what we call VOD, I guess, as Lev HaShavua, as like the weekly kind of thing. We call it VOD, and they're just having gone through the conference and knowing what we do in school. Can you take us through a little bit about what was chosen as kind of a key component of what we're trying to do with the SAR version of this class?
Okay, so first of all, I want you to go back to Lisa at some point and ask her how she came up with the name VOD, because I think that makes SARs unique and it reflects something about the experience. But the way that we do it when you come into the classroom is we start with, like I said, like just recognizing you're all here, we want you to be here, you're important, and that's like the naming, the clapping. And then we go into like, okay, how's your day? You know, how are you feeling right now? And like you said, that's often like with numbers, we hold up fingers. And also, like everything has a lot of thought behind it. If you put up, it's much easier for me to tell you a number before I can like then describe to you, like, okay, like what's actually going on for me. So almost everybody feels comfortable, like just, okay, today's a four, or today's an eight, or like today's a one, or today's a 10. Then, goes into the sharing piece, like here, we call it Sipor Shli Layom. What's my story of the day? How am I feeling right now? What am I bringing to the room? And then we transition from there. Everybody, it's kind of like this sharing place, and people acknowledge each other, and they also know what's going on with their classmates' lives, like whether or not they socially are friends, but it's like kind of everyone knows where you're at. And then the next component that we move into is called the limud, and that's the Torah study piece. And the idea there is something that Lisa mentioned before, which is that we learn Torah, but we learn Torah in a way that is very personal. What is the Torah? I think Rav Dov has a phrase that he calls Kriyat HaTorah. Like, how does the Torah call to me? Like, what's the personal message? And that is, so there's like a Torah piece, but that's very much leads into like, what does that mean to me? How do I think about this? What's my personal takeaway? And then we usually, after that, we close with an ending question, end with a word, a wish that you, oh, I'm sorry, I missed the heart of the program.
Parnas.
Nas. Yes. Okay. So the heart, I think I say that because this is the part that the students really love and look forward to, is that one student every week, and it's funny because it reminds me a little bit of like some of the things that like we do in preschool, but that like actually like kids really love and feel so seen. And sometimes as you get older, we lose some of those pieces, like student of the week or something like that.
Shabbat, Ima, whatever it is.
Right. Like my parents actually still have my brother's like student of the week, like his like form hanging on their refrigerator. And that was a long time ago, let's just say that. But this the Parnas, and Parnas actually means somebody who like contributes something like to the group. But the Parnas, what they share is they can share a snack, but then they also share something about themselves. Something that you might not know about me, a dilemma, something that I'm going through, thinking about. And then the class, after the Parnas shares their dilemma, the class like kind of listens and validates and like kind of shares what they heard from this speaker. So it's almost like, we talked about at the beginning, like recognizing everybody who's in the room. This is like a deeper dive into somebody specific, in like a certain individual, and then a very like empathetic kind of processing with the group. And it's really a very beautiful thing, because again, like I said, these aren't necessarily people who are all, it's whoever's in your class, your Tanakh and Gemara class. Not everybody is in the same social circle, but it creates a real like listening and empathy within the group. And I guess the last thing I'll say is that, and a sense of that God is there, like within this conversation. Like somehow I find, I've said this to you, Lisa, a bunch of times, that like I mention Hashem like just much more often in VOD than I do in like a typical place. It really feels like a godly kind of place. I don't know if you want to talk more about that, but yeah.
I'll talk more about
Yeah,
that.
please.
Rav Zinger likes to quote the pasuk from Malachi, which is "As nidbaru yirei Hashem ish el re'ehu ve'akshev Hashem v'yishma." That when people are speaking to each other deeply, Hashem is listening as well, and you really feel that. I mean, there's a certain sense of kedusha in the room when you have a bunch of teenagers and they're listening to somebody, and they're not just listening, but then they're saying, "What I heard you say is, what resonates with me is." We're very much sticklers for the protocols here, and that's really important. And the really wonderful thing, and I think what really got me hooked on this program, is I remember when we first started this in 9th grade, and one of my students at some random point, in not in VOD, in our regular Gemara Shir, was listening to something somebody said and started talking and stopped himself and then said, "No, I can do this better." And said, "What I heard you say is," and then said, "What resonates with me is," and just use the language. And now, by the time our students are juniors, they've been doing this in 9th grade, they've been doing this in 10th grade, they have a certain language of listening. And that's incredibly important, particularly right now in our world.
I feel like you've answered the question I was going to ask next, which is one of the challenges we have in the high school day is time, finding time for everything. And one of the remarkable things about VOD is that we've carved out time from a very rigorous academic schedule for our students, even as we've tried to make the day a little bit shorter post-COVID for VOD. So I guess what I'm wondering is, was it just that you saw the benefits of this program outweighing the challenge of fitting in another? Did you take away time from Gemara and Tanakh classes? Was this added time? Where did you find the time for VOD to become a part of the weekly schedule? And maybe also, Lisa, tell us why we named this program VOD as opposed to the Lev HaShavu or whatever it is that Lifnai VeLifnim and other schools refer to it as.
Okay. So when we started the program, it was kind of post-COVID, and the schedule was in flux a little bit. So we had the advantage of kind of playing around with the schedule because it was post-COVID and we were playing around with schedules anyway. So that was definitely helpful here. But ultimately, when you take time, you are taking time from something. And we really did feel like this was worthwhile. It is not a program, I would say, that we see as a standalone program. We see this very much as part of Gemara Shirim, Tanakh Shirim, and contributing to them. So it's another period that you have with your Gemara teacher or your Tanakh teacher. And in that way, it really does bleed into the regular learning of your class. You know your students in a different way, they know each other in a different way, and that's really helpful. The reason we called it VOD is because VOD is really a group, a meeting of people who are oriented towards a certain goal. You know, there was something called Vad Musar in a couple centuries ago, which was really about just a group of people committed to working on their personal growth. And that's really what this is. It's about creating a community of people committed to working on personal growth together.
Yes, I recall that before we started this Vad, we had like a junior program called VOD that I think I suggested we should call it VOD, but this is really what
this is VOD, really VOD, yeah.
should be. And I think that's great. Shir, I wanted to ask you, because you've been involved with the faculty VOD, and it's based off something that Lisa said a few minutes ago and something that I really felt when I went through the conference, which is how do the dispositions that are developed by the protocols of this class of VOD meaningful beyond just that period? You know, not just the story of the student who realizes that there's a way to frame and phrase what they're saying, but also in terms of thinking about the development of teachers and the role of teachers in Judaic studies classes. How do you think VOD can help teachers become more effective or expand their toolbox when it comes to interacting with their students and working on their own growth?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I could just tell you, like, for myself, like, I definitely feel like it has expanded me, first of all, as a person. You know, forget about it as a teacher, because the first time, I'll confess this, even though this is an SAR high school, you know, educational podcast, but when Lisa and I went on the conference, we were just like, first of all, we had the best time, like
it
the one
great.
In Israel, but also we would joke, we feel like we're back in like a Shana Aleph program. Like we just like it filled like our souls in a way that was so meaningful and unique. And I think step one is like, just as a teacher, having that opportunity to just like kind of work on my own growth and fill. Rav Dov has something that he says, like, you have to like recharge yourself, like a, you know, it's very, that part in itself, just like the renewal and the spirituality of it and the reconnecting to the self, I think is important. But beyond that, as I would say, as the for the faculty, I think it also expanded. It definitely, as much as you want it to, it can expand your role as a teacher and your toolbox, because you look at students as just whole people. Like the whole philosophy of this is that we all come into every interaction, whether it's classroom, whether it's VOD, whether it's a Shabbaton. We're people who have a lot of things going on. We have anxieties, we have, events, we have challenges, we have successes, and there's just so much of every person coming into every interaction. And VOD acknowledges that, and it gives space for that. And it makes things into something broader. Like it's not just like, oh, we have a 40-minute period and we talk about, we learn Torah and then we run out. It deepens the relationship. And I think it has a respect for every person, even the teacher also, as an individual, that like I'm a whole person and I don't just exist in the 40 minutes that I teach the class.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on that, and I could not agree more, and talk a little bit more about the teacher VOD and how that's played out at SAR High School. So the faculty who are running VOD and any other faculty that actually want to join meet every other week for a period and do our own VOD. And what's really important about that, as Shira said, is that when teachers are showing up to the faculty VOD, they're really showing up as themselves. They're not showing up as teachers. And very often when you do professional development, you're showing up and you're thinking, how am I going to actually present this to my students? How am I going to talk about this? How am I going to write this curriculum? How am I going to create this exam or worksheet or whatever it is? And this is really just about showing up and being yourself. And that has incredible repercussions for what actually happens in the classroom because you're fortifying yourself. So the faculty will gather and we'll go through the same kind of motions that we will do with students, but for ourselves. How are you doing today? What's on your mind? We will do a limud. Often it's the same kind of limud that we are going to do with students. So we're practicing it, but we're not practicing it as how would you do this with students, but we're actually giving our own reactions. And that has been a really powerful way for teachers to connect with each other and also for teachers to become more comfortable with the program and its goals.
There are two things that I experienced from the conference. One is kind of the difference between being a teacher and being a facilitator, like the difference between being a moreh and a manche, and kind of how lifnai v'lifnim really allows the teacher to step back a little bit from being the center of the class and becomes someone who facilitates others and is also a learner and a part of the class in the same way that a student can be a part of the class. And that was really something that was instructive for me, and it kind of has been helpful for me in terms of even thinking about shul and as a rabbi in a shul, how I can be more of a facilitator and less of, the rabbi standing up top. And the other thing that's interesting is the one trap that I think some people can fall in with lifnai v'lifnim is that you try to be Rav Dov or you try to be Rav Yishai because they're so magnetic and they're so fascinating as individuals, but you really have to be yourself when you do the VOD. You can't be trying to mimic somebody else or imitating somebody else's version of VOD, because if you're bringing yourself to it, you can have the tools that you've been taught through the programs and through the conferences, but you really need to be who you are. And those two things really stood out for me after the couple of days that I went to the conference, kind of how I can step back, but I also can't just try to be somebody else. I still have to be myself.
I was gonna say,
Sarah, you
Virla, it's
wanted
such
to
a good
add something?
point. And like on the one hand, I think they give you these, like you said, these very like magnetic models, and they encourage us to like play. Yeah, try that, even if that's not your usual go-to. But even more deeply, they encourage us to be ourselves. And if that's not working, like don't force yourself to be somebody else. Like be true to who you are and the talents that you're bringing to the table, which I think also teachers then get to think about, like what are the things that I bring that are my particular strengths? The other thing though that I wanted to mention just with what you said is when Lisa was talking about the faculty VOD as a space where teachers could be themselves and think about like not only like who am I as a teacher, but who am I as a person. I also just want to say after October 7th, the faculty VOD was such a beautiful, holy space that I think we really felt that we could just say how we were feeling without, you know, when you're speaking to a class, let's say, about like Israel post October 7th, and it was very emotional. And we were always thinking about, well, what's the right, you know, how much do we want to expose? Do we not want to expose? Am I the teacher? Am I, but we were just like individuals in pain. And it was a really special, I felt like that was a big source of strength for me this year in that way, like coming into the space where like I could just be myself. But I guess tied into that, there's like, right, there's like that space, and then there's the space as a teacher. So just to what we were saying before, I told you I started like the opposite way from you. And I think a little bit Lisa also, where I was first went to the conference in Israel, and then I was like running like a few faculty VODs. And then it was like, oh wait, now I have to do this with like a class of 10th graders. And I remember like going into that, and I was kind of like, you know, on this like spiritual cloud. And I remember I came out of the VOD and I saw Lisa, and she said, "So how did it go? How was the first VOD with the students?" And I remember I said, "Humbling." It's a very different dynamic, and I think that that's also been interesting, navigating like these two very different spaces, but. Yeah, and a journey, and a journey.
Now, I found when I was with 11th graders, and our VOD was third period on Friday, which was Thursday, which was two periods before a test. And it was juniors in a honors class who were very academically oriented and intense students, that I wasn't prepared for the Sipur Shalishalayom. How are you feeling today? To very often just get into, I've spent all night studying, I spent all day stressed out about this. So one of the kind of learning curve pieces of that for the teachers is exactly what you said, kind of how do we elevate the conversation into something that is what it's designed to be, as opposed to just a let me kind of let my hair down about how stressed out I am, which is an important thing to do because that's where their heads are at. But the ultimate goal is to try to dig a little bit deeper into the spiritual piece of and the godliness in our lives, as opposed to the AP bio or a push test that I'm really worried about in another 45 minutes.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've seen with this program is there's such a developmental piece to this. So thinking about ninth graders in a way that's different than thinking about 11th graders or 12th graders. And, you know, when ninth graders come in, just getting ninth graders to actually even express to each other, yeah, I'm stressed about this test. Like that is actually what's going on for them. And that's great. And if it's just that for a little while until they learn to actually listen and not interrupt and just take in what their peers are saying is a great thing. That's the asnidbaru. That's the just the real listening piece. And then in 10th and 11th grade, moving students a little bit more towards the spirituality piece of it, towards the Torah learning piece of it. I think I've learned, I know, you know, mistakes that I've made at the beginning of this program for sure was being too intent on content, particularly with ninth grade. Like, what are we covering? What's the learning that we're doing? All of that. And then learning to sort of slow that down and focus on really the interpersonal listening piece, definitely with ninth grade. And once that really feels much more solid, then layering on other deeper pieces.
Shira, is there anything else that feel like you've learned, or that a moment where this the Lifnai v'Lifnim VOD experience has kind of really clicked for you in the classroom, that thinking back on the last couple of years of leading VOD or leading faculty VODs, you spoke about post October 7th, maybe with the students, where you felt like there was some kind of breakthrough or some kind of, yeah, this is what this is supposed to be about.
I mean, there's so many different like ways to go with that. Are you more interested in the like VOD itself or the classroom or just go?
Any one of those. Like, I know for my class, when we were a big class last year, so we had two different VODs where we split up half the group with the Tanakh teacher, half the group with me, who I was teaching Gemara. And then we kind of did on our Shabbaton a whole class VOD. And that kind of changed the dynamic for the rest of the year in the classroom, because it was kind of the two halves of the class all together in a space where we didn't have the bell about to ring, and where we were able to kind of share where we were at and what we were thinking about in the context of a Shabbat meal. It kind of all just clicked in that particular moment, and the payoff was then the rest of the year, the class dynamic felt kind of enhanced.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest pieces. Like, you really hit on something important, that the class you develop sort of a class culture, and some of that is like jokes and fun, but it really becomes it. This is a big change that I have felt, that class just feels like the group feels like a safe space. Because once you can get past sort of like the posturing or like the I'm this person, and by really creating an environment that's like authentic, kind of like you were talking about before, then everything just feels safe. And because we do this in the group, that it's a Tanakh and Gemara class, it's a group that spends a lot of time with each other. So seeing the way that, like, I think one of the biggest things that like just moves me every time is seeing the way that like students look out for each other, even if it's someone that they might not have really interacted with, you know, and kind of like end up cheering each other on in a way that I really didn't see before I did VOD with my class. Like, and it comes out in so many different ways, like a student doing a presentation, a student who's struggling with something, sharing in the VOD and outside the VOD. And like, it's kind of like they're just become more human to each other, and they kind of like start to take care of each other. And by the way, same to me too. Like, even like there'll be like sensitive to something, you know, it's, you know, it's different, but like there's a certain empathy and sensitivity that is new to me. You know, I haven't seen that in the same way before I did it. And I think also in terms of like the teacher-student relationship, I think they feel like I really care about them. And I cared about them before, and I tried to communicate it, but this gives us a space that we can all see it.
Yeah, you mentioned the students and kind of the flipping of the empathy piece. I guess there was one time last year where I didn't put up 8 or more fingers when I was talking about how I was feeling. It was a hard week, and maybe I shared a bit about it. And the next day, two of the students presented me with challahs that they had baked for me Shabbos because they knew I had had a hard week. And so, like, that's the kind of thing where those students had that in them, and I had the ability to share what I was struggling with the students. And I'm someone who even before VOD, was maybe somewhat too sherry when it comes to certain things. But this gives it a space, and then the students hear and can reciprocate or can show in a meaningful way how much they care about the teachers. And that was really something that was I found moving, and that I'm glad you reminded me about.
I think it's important to put out there also that students are sharing in a way that they feel comfortable with, and teachers are sharing in a way that they feel comfortable with. So a lot of what creates that class dynamic and the students appreciating each other is also because kids are sharing stuff that's silly. You know, I had a great Sunday because I did this with my dog, and then, you know, the kid who always talks about their dog, and then it becomes a running joke in the class about their dog, whatever it might be. But you end up with a sort of camaraderie just because you know kind of random facts sometimes about people in your class. The boundary piece of this, I think, is really important. And that's something that we work with teachers on and train teachers on, in terms of thinking about, you know, what is appropriate to share, what's not appropriate to share, what to do if a student overshares. And those are conversations that are very important to have with faculty.
I guess my last question for both of you is, where do you see this going? We're now about to start the fourth year of doing VOD. So we have a class that's kind of not known an SAR experience without VOD. What do we ultimately see as the goal? Or is this kind of the kind of program where there's no benchmarks for it, where it's hard to evaluate, is it working or is it not working? It's much more, do we continue to foster the kind of classrooms where students feel like they're growth-oriented, that they're connecting with each other, that they're connecting with Hashem? Is this about the teachers learning how to be better facilitators and how to convene those kinds of conversations? Where do you see this going in your dream vision for VAD and Lifnai VeLifnim at SAR High School?
So I think there really are two pieces to this program, which are really intricately related. One is the group connection piece of this. Kids feeling comfortable with each other, class feeling like a safe space, all the things we've been talking about. And the second piece is really my own personal religious growth. And am I growing as a person? And I think we have to keep working on both of those things. I think as we're starting the program and getting it off the ground, the group piece of it was really the focus. And I think the work ahead lies in really seeing how focused we can be on working on students' individual growth and facilitating individual religious growth of students. So one-on-one conversations, thinking about what protocols for that might look like, and what a program might look like for that works with that works off of the work we've already been doing with VAD.
Yeah, I'll just add to that. Yeah, first of all, I think yes and, as I was listening to everything you're saying, I'm thinking, yes, we have to work on kind of keep working with the things that are already in place. And then we also have to grow. Part of this program is just a growth program. But to what Lisa just said, I think the group dynamic is very natural in a school because most things happen in a group. And so what we've been thinking about is how to kind of tailor this to also individual conversations and what do those look like? So that's kind of going to be, I think, a next step for us in VAD.
I want to thank both of you, Shira and Lisa, for joining us to teach us about Lifnai VeLifnim and about the VAD program. I want to thank Lifnai VeLifnim, the Zingers, and Rabbi Yehuda Chanelis, who works for Lifnai VeLifnim in North America, convening faculty and setting up these conferences. And I want to thank our students for really being open to this and embracing it in a way that has made it such an important part of the culture of our school and of Judaic studies in a really meaningful way. And thank you to our listeners for listening to this episode of The Grand Conversation. Please be sure to visit our website, www.machonsiach.org, where you can subscribe to our podcast and find all of our work, papers, essays, and podcasts on a variety of subjects. Until next time, this has been The Grand Conversation, the Machon Siach Podcast.